We hear again from Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching, with which I have been instructed by the command of God our Savior, to Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery and insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he might be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and able also to rebuke those who contradict it. In the name of Jesus. Crete, that island, that once great kingdom, that still great economy, Crete needs a pastor. So the Apostle Paul will not let them be without one. In order that the church would be cared for, in order that the gospel would be preached in the church, that families and children would be baptized, that the holy body and blood of Jesus would each week be served to the Lord's people for the forgiveness of their sins, the Lord instituted the office of holy ministry. The word we usually use is pastor. Paul called them pastors too, but he also used other titles for this holy office, including servant or minister, including, as we see in this letter, elder. So he was using elder a little bit differently than we do, including overseer. So we don't need to get terribly concerned about which title. Paul uses several. But the church in Crete, these Christians need a pastor, and Paul will not leave them without. So he calls Titus. Titus will be the Lord's pastor in Crete. So a quick note about Crete. This is going to be a rough church to be called to. Everyone knows about Crete. These are tough people. They do have a proud history, but they're arrogant. Cretans are known for demanding their way, for imposing their will, for making dishonest deals, for doing things the way they want to do them. Titus should be under no illusion when he takes the pulpit in Crete. Paul refers to them even as insubordinate. In his letter to Titus, Paul is right up front with Titus about these Cretans. He writes, "There are many in Crete who are insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain." Titus 1:10. And this is not just Paul's view of it. Paul even goes and gives Titus a famous quote from Epimenides, a famous Greek philosopher who happened also to be from Crete. Paul writes, "One of them, a prophet of their own," that's Epimenides, "once said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." Titus 1:12. "Oh, Titus, Pastor Titus, are you sure you want this call to Crete?" But Titus is honored. The apostle set him there with a charge. Paul loves these Cretans. How could he not? Paul knows that Jesus has atoned for them with his own blood. So he sets Titus to be the pastor in Crete. "I left you in Crete," says Paul, "so that you might put what remained in order, appointing elders in every town as I directed you." Titus 1:5. Elders, again, is one of Paul's words for the office of holy ministry. Paul wants Titus to appoint elders, that is, pastors, in all the towns on this great island of Crete. Paul wants no one left apart from the gospel. But how will Titus do this? How will he bring this gospel week after week to these Cretans? Not in the way they expect. Not in the way they're used to. They're used to having their own way, and they would expect a pastor to be the same, to imposing their will, to insubordination, to harshness. But Titus is preaching a different Lord. Titus 3:4. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, by whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus will preach a Lord opposite everything the Cretans grew up with. These Cretans were idol worshipers. As a matter of fact, the palace and the idol temple still stand as artifacts to this day. But now they have been baptized into Christ. The Lord into which they are baptized is known by mercy, by loving kindness, known not by demanding submission, but by cleansing the sinner in baptism. What Paul calls here the washing of regeneration. This Lord is known by justifying sinners by his grace, making them heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus will be a pastor of the grace and gentleness of Christ Jesus, a pastor of kindness among a harsh people. So Paul writes this letter to Titus. These are called the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, where Paul is writing not to the church as a whole, but to these particular pastors, and then giving the letter to the church as a whole so that everyone can know what a pastor is given to do. If we want to maybe celebrate St. Titus this week, one thing we could do is read through the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus to see our Lord's gift of the office of ministry for his church. So the pastor, as Paul is defining it, the pastor, Paul tells Titus, will not be arrogant or quick-tempered, but will be hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined. And Paul says, the pastor will hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also able to rebuke those who contradict it. Titus 1:9. The trustworthy word as taught, says Paul, that's the word of Christ crucified and his sacraments, which Titus has been taught by Paul, in which also the other apostles have been teaching the church throughout the world. Giving instruction in sound doctrine, says Paul. This is the doctrine of the apostles. In the Greek, in which Paul would have written this letter, the sound doctrine is more literally the healthful doctrine. It's a word having to do with taking a sick person and giving health, taking one near death and giving healing. The doctrine from the apostles is the doctrine to bring health, the doctrine to heal those who are dying. Rebuke those who contradict this doctrine, says the apostle. Do we wonder why there are so many uncomfortable arguments in the history of the church? Do we wonder why a pastor stands in front of a catechism class, for instance, and warns the students of the danger of a doctrine which says that Jesus is unable to cleanse and give faith to a baby? So you must wait until you're 17 years old or some other arbitrary age before you let Jesus do his work of baptism. Why would a pastor have that uncomfortable conversation? Or why warn the students of a doctrine which says the blood of Jesus is unable to purge all your sins, so you must go to purgatory to purge the sins Jesus can't catch? Because Paul says, The good, healthy doctrine is what to give to the families, and those who contradict it should be contradicted themselves. Rebuke those who contradict the doctrine which brings health, says Paul, the doctrine of justification through faith alone. So Titus is to keep the Cretans in the healthy, life-giving doctrine. This is the day, January 26, when the church rejoices in the gift of St. Titus, pastor and confessor. Because it's on January 26, it only hits a Sunday once every 7 years or so. But in this, the church is rejoicing in and extolling the gift of the office of holy ministry. We are rejoicing that the Lord justifies the sinner, so that the sinner stands before God righteous, not by any strength, merit, or work in the sinner, but by faith in Christ Jesus alone. We are rejoicing that so that the sinner may obtain this faith, God has instituted the office of holy ministry, so that his gospel of grace would be taught in the church, and his sacraments of the forgiveness of sins would be freely distributed to his people. We are rejoicing that when a pastor is doing this work of preaching the gospel and administering the sacraments, the gift does not depend on any sufficiency or worthiness of the pastor himself, but on the word and institution of the Lord by which the office has been instituted and by which the forgiveness of sins is daily distributed to the sinner. We are rejoicing that when the Holy Spirit gathers us to the preaching of the word and the distribution of the body and blood for the forgiveness of all sin, we may repent of our sin. We may be done with trying to justify ourselves, for we are given instead to receive and hold on to only the righteousness of Christ Jesus, which we have been clothed in baptism, and by which we stand before the Father in righteousness and purity forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.